Good morning. No, really, good morning. Okay, thank you. If you're visiting this morning, this is the junior varsity up here. You need to come back for the real pastor. I'm just pinch hitting. The other thing, Mike mentioned how proud of you the elder board is in terms of your giving, and I appreciate you saying that, Mike, and I echo that. I'm also proud of you for how loving you are with these kids in the sanctuary. Jesus said, let the kids come to me. And, you know, they're dancing, they're fidgeting and whatever, and we're still worshiping. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, again, I don't do this for a living, so bear with me. Hopefully it'll be okay. We're going to jump into God's Word. It's important that you have God's Word. Does anybody not have God's Word? It's also known as the Bible or a book like that. Okay. In the old days, we used to say, we'll grab some and hand them out. But now I'd say, while I'm talking, just ignore me and download that app on your phone, please. We're going to read from the Bible. A couple of places, there's a couple of key passages. Before we do that, let me pray very quickly. Father, let the meditations in my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing unto you. Amen. There we go. I want to talk to you about the audacity of Christianity. It's audacious. I was going to say bodacious, but that has other ramifications. It's crazy. It's a little different. And what I want to emphasize, perhaps you've never heard of Christianity. We're going to walk through some of that. I also want to emphasize maybe you've been following Jesus for decades, and sometimes we forget how crazy this actually sounds when you look at it on the surface. And I also want to talk about how audacious it is for some of the things that God did on our behalf. You okay with that? Are you ready? All right. Oops. See if I can get that look. What? About 30 years ago, I had a friend who went to China to teach English as a second language. He was also an undercover missionary. It's like Mission Impossible. And he went to China. He was working there, and he didn't have to bring it up. They said, hey, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, can you tell us about that? Yeah. And he basically gave them the gospel message, which I'll reiterate in a few minutes. And he basically said, and Jesus rose from the dead and saved us from our sins. And the response he got was they laughed at his face. It's crazy. Say what? This guy rose from the dead? I mean, we've been in Christianity for years, perhaps some of us, or maybe it's in the cult, but this guy rose from the dead? Are you serious? I mean, it just sounds ridiculous from the outside looking in, if you think about it. Are you with me? I mean, it does, you kind of get that look on people's faces sometimes. So I think what I would emphasize to you, if I can get the next slide, Christianity hinges on one thing. And we have the cross, and we'll talk about that, but our faith, our belief system, the entirety of Christianity hinges on one thing. And one thing only, and that's this empty tomb. Okay? The empty tomb is what Christianity is about. So I know it's the middle of February. It's a little early for Easter. Easter has nothing to do with bunnies and chocolates and all that, but I just want to emphasize this, and let me summarize it. If I was outside of the Christian faith, this is really what it sounds like. So you're saying that some dude claimed to be God, lived about 2,000 years ago, was supposedly killed, and then everyone claims that he was raised from the dead. And if you believe that, it pays for your sins, allows you access to God, unlocks eternal life, and gives you a purpose in this life. It's kind of audacious when you think about that. Why would we do that? Why would you believe that? Well, what I'd like to do here for the first part of the sermon is take a closer look at this, and then I want to get to the second audacious part. Is that okay? Okay. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or read it on the screen. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's in the Bible. That's not me saying anything. That's in 1 Corinthians. And effectively what it's saying is if Jesus did not raise from the dead, if there's no resurrection, then we're fools. Who likes getting up early on the weekend? There's a couple duck hunters and fishermen, but the rest of you, who likes getting up early on the weekend, going to hang out with people you sometimes just don't have a whole lot in common with. It's amazing how God brings us together. Who likes doing that? Okay, and there's food, so okay, maybe that's for some of you. Thank you. But really, I mean, I would rather, you know, join the Elks Club or the Rotary or something else. If we're going to have a social club, there's better places to do that. Just being honest. Maybe too honest. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, what are we doing? What a waste of time. What a waste of our faith. Ready to go to the next verse? But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's the point. If you have a Bible and you have a highlighter, I'd recommend you highlight this and underline this and memorize this. If you have a phone and you have a Bible, do something to make you remember it, whatever that looks like. This is a key verse. Our faith, entire Christianity, hinges upon this point. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. We've lost two really dear brothers the past few months. We're still feeling that loss, even this past week. But it's this verse that gives us hope. Okay, so there's a lot of application of this right now in our communal life. So if you're like me, when you were first looking at this, after you got over the, say what? And the ridiculousness of this, and you realize it hinges on this one thing, is there actual evidence to support this? Is this actually based in fact, or is this some kind of Narnia story? Is this Lord of the Rings and we're reading about Middle Earth in this book? Or whatever. What's the Percy Jackson thing? I don't know. Is this a mythology? Or is this reality? I would submit to you, it's reality. There have been 6 independent recorded testimonies. 3 of them were detailed eyewitness accounts. There were 10 recorded appearances. Some of them were over to 500 people. Plus, there were 4 more recorded appearances after Jesus took on his rocket boosters and jumped into heaven. That's in Acts chapter 1. You can read the details. The point is that people have seen this and recorded it for our benefit. I won't get into the textual basis within the Bible and the validity of the text. Suffice it to say, in short form, ancient manuscripts that have 20 or 30 manuscripts are considered valid in a historical context. And something like Homer's Iliad might have a couple hundred, and no one doubts the context or the content. Can I tell you, the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, has over 30,000 ancient texts that are extant today. So there's evidence here. I want you to know that. Let me ask you this other thing. Look at the behavior of his followers. Just if Jesus dies, they're going to be bummed out. And weren't they kind of bummed out? Wouldn't they just, well, now what? Let's go away. And Jesus has to pull them back together and say, no, really, I'm here. So there's a legitimacy in the behavior and the psychology of his followers in the Bible. And then they persist despite persecution. All of the major apostles ended up buying the farm because they loved Jesus. Sorry, they were killed for their faith. They were martyred for their faith. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to die for a lie if I know something is inaccurate. I will capitulate. Let me give you an example of that. How many of you have kids? How many of you have multiple kids? How many of you have ever had a scenario like this? Hey, who took the last brownie? That was mine. Tell me, who did it? They clam up. And then you say, okay, no one is going to have any more desserts for the rest of the month until I find out who did this. And then they rat each other out like you wouldn't believe. Oh, it was my brother sitting right there. You know the scenario. You're going to rat other people out if they're lying, if they're not telling the truth. And yet the disciples don't do that. The other thing, and this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. We won't go there, but in John chapter 20, it talks about how Peter is running, and he's a big burly guy, and John beats him there, but John's a little more timid. Peter goes into the tomb, and Jesus isn't there, and they're freaked out. But what they see is the headband that was around Jesus' face, not just torn off and thrown on the floor, but rolled up and put down neatly. That, to me, speaks of the kind of God we have and the order that he has in giving us evidence. We could go on and on. Extra-biblical histories, historians from that time period said something happened in this region of the world. There's got to be something going on. So there's evidences for the resurrection that I want you to know about. But let's take it down to something even more simple that you might be able to understand. Let me ask you this. What year is it? 2019 what? AD, what does AD stand for? After dinner, no. It was over here, I heard it was Latin. What was it? Anno Domini. Yeah, thanks. Anno Domini. Does anybody know what that means? The year of our Lord. If a guy steps into history and splits it, you should pay attention to that. What day is it? Sunday. Did you know this used to be like a hump day, Wednesday, normal working day, or Monday? Yeah, thank you for that. Sunday is the day believers started celebrating the resurrection, and it changed how we did work. It became the new Sabbath. It became the new day that was set aside. So just the fact that you don't mostly have to go to work today. Our cultural norms say Sunday is a set-apart day. Something's going on when we change how we go about our daily lives because of this. Let me ask you this. Where are you right now? Church. Great. Thank you. Did you realize the continuity of the church is not something you should take for granted? Did you know that the message they were preaching 2,000 years ago is the same that we're talking about this morning? Did you know that most organizations have a 5 to 10 year cycle where the mission statement changes, where the dynamics change, where over, say, 50 years, if your organization is able to last that long, it's going to morph and look very differently than what it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Think of Ford Motor Company, still making cars, but very different than when they started. Think of IBM, who knows what they're making now. Think of Xerox. I could go on and on. Christianity has said at the end of the day, it's all about the resurrection, and that has not changed. And more than that, what organization has persisted when powers that be and governments have specifically tried to snuff it out and stop it, and yet it continues to thrive for millennia? I don't know about you, but that says something to me. That's some evidence that, wow, this resurrection thing, there's more to it. It's kind of audacious that it has persisted this long. Are you with me? You following what I'm saying? So I think the other thing, to get to an empty tomb, we need to emphasize the cross. The cross. Can I have the next slide, please? Sorry. Oh, back up one, please. Thank you. So what's up with the cross? Some of you may or may not know. We use it so much. I see a couple of you have it on necklaces now. It would be the equivalent of you now wearing a necklace with a gigantic rifle on it, or a necklace with an electric chair, or a necklace with a gigantic noose. It was an execution device. It's how ridiculous that is, that we walk around and it's become the centrality of our faith. And it was a Roman form of execution, brutal, terrible. It's central, secondarily, only to the empty tomb. And can I tell you, the specifics of the cross and Jesus on the cross was predicted before it happened. So I can predict the stock market maybe tomorrow. You ready? This is a trading tip. It's going to be closed. That was free. That you can. So maybe I can predict the stock market next week. Maybe. I can do some mathematical modeling, understand some business tips and tricks. It's probably going to bounce around at the Dow around 25, 26,000. Okay, there you go. If you ask me to predict the stock market a month from now, I'm not going to do it. A year or two from now, no thank you. I hope it goes up. I've got kids going to college soon, so I hope that money goes up. Can I tell you, the cross was predicted, oh, not a couple months before, not even a year or two before, but 1,000 years before it happened. And that's documented in history, documented in the text. And not only that it was going to happen, but how it was going to happen, and about 30 to 40 odd details of how it was going to happen. You can do the statistics, binomial probability into the 30th. It's a big number with a lot of zeros. Not going to happen. And the point of the gospel message is Jesus went through this execution, stood in front of the firing squad, sat in an electric chair, walked up and put the noose around his neck voluntarily, and he did it to pay for our sins. Now, that sounds weird. So I want to demonstrate the need to pay for sins and why you might have this sense of justice inherently. I'm just needing some volunteers, maybe someone I can pick on, someone with lots of money. I'm going to pick on Scott. Can I have your wallet, please? Just have your wallet.
You're not worth a lot of money.
Well, all right, you can have a seat. Thanks. All right. Yeah, that's you. You look a lot better in your license picture, actually. Sorry. Let's see. Hang on 1 second. There's no money in there. Discover card. I'll take your money, sure.
No, you took the wallet.
Oh, I took the. So I take the Discover card, debit card, hit the ATM. Later, movie theater, I don't care. Visa card. What do you got here? Ooh, what's this? What's this? Receipt from Logan. You can keep that. AAA. I think I'm good there. Okay. Thanks. Here you go. I'm going to keep these cards. You know, we have a little bit of Christmas to pay off. I missed a credit card. Wow. Or Sears. You can have that. They're closed. They're out of business. I don't want that one. So I'm going to just take those. Thank you. Okay. Shall we go on? She's a little nervous now, isn't she? You're like, is he serious? Is he going on? Or you know this guy, he's a little of a joker. All right, let's just go on. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. I'll find out what the limits are on these cards. It's okay. I'm just a little disappointed you didn't have any cash. All right, the gospel message in short. There is a God. That's a presupposition. Psalm says, only the fool says in his heart, there's no God. So if you don't believe in there a God, you're a fool. There's not much we can do to work with you. Everybody does bad things. Duh. That's also known as sin. Can you read Romans 3:23? Stand up and read it out loud. You're 6:23. I got in the back, Ms. Soares there. Yep. Okay. Thank you. I'll have her read it again. I'll go to her with the microphone. Thank you. Totally embarrassing you. Do you have any credit cards, by the way? Okay. Go ahead.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay. Thank you. That's the second point. The other thing is there needs to be payment for wrong things. Things need to be made right. And this payment is severe. How many of you have this inherent sense of justice in you building because I took Scott's money? Can you read Romans chapter 6, verse 23?
Yes. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you. So somebody has to pay to make things right. You know that, right? Because you're like, what is he going to do with those credit cards and that wallet? I'm still disappointed you didn't have any cash. Somebody paid. That somebody was Jesus. I think it was you, Carla, who has Romans chapter 10. Okay.
9 and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
Thank you. So Jesus paid for it. And if you go back to 1 Corinthians, it talks about his resurrection power broke the power of sin and death. And even in Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it talks about restoring our friendship with God. That's the gospel message in short. The three things that you heard read out loud, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10, 9, and 10. It's called the Romans Road. Maybe you've heard of that, maybe you haven't. It's the Romans Road to Salvation. It's the gospel message in a nutshell. There it is. How's your inherent sense of justice doing? I just took some cash out of credit cards out of that guy's wallet. I lost them. Just kidding. They're here. And there's a little something else to not only pay for it, to make it up for your hassle. That's kind of what God does to us. Okay. Did you get that point? If nothing else, you get the idea. If somebody were to come and take your money, you'd want it back. And you'd want it restored and you want restitution. Come on in. So, thanks. It's okay. So that's the gospel message, Romans Road. If you have a friend who's wrestling with this, what's up with the resurrection? What's up with Christianity? Do those three verses, underline them, emphasize them, memorize them. I think some of you had already memorized them. They're straightforward. There's a few other elements to this. Let me emphasize this. Church history, various creeds, various leaders and reformers and carriers of the faith, and even this church's mission statement, all point to the centrality of the resurrection. When the church and individuals have gotten away from this central tenet, it's when we tend to have struggles. Okay? I'll read that again. When the church and individuals have gotten away from this central tenet is when we tend to have struggles, both corporately, as a church at large, globally, and even individually. If you're not remembering the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the absolute certainty and evidence that that happened, that's when you have struggles in your life. Okay. Let me summarize how audacious this is. So you're saying some guy claimed to be God, lived about 2,000 years ago, was supposedly killed. Everyone claims that he was raised from the dead. And if you believe that, it pays for your sins, allows you access to God, unlocks eternal life, and gives you a purpose in this life. Pretty much. That's what Christianity is about. Okay? So, if we stop there, that would be good. Be way too early, though. So, sorry you got your hopes up. Here's the key point. The pastoral staff, the elders, want you to have this. Our aim is to help you know that the foundation of your faith is solidly based. You can base your faith not on reading about Narnia or Percy Jackson or Lord of the Rings and Middle Earth or all these crazy things. You can base your faith on something that has solid evidence. Okay, that's how I became a Christian, is I actually examined this way more in detail than what we went into this morning. If you have doubts or challenges, you can text me, email the pastor, email any of the elders. We're happy to walk through those evidences with you in more detail. The simple point is this: it's foolish to ignore the resurrection. Okay? Let me tell you another reason it's foolish to ignore the resurrection. Now I'm on to the second part of what we're covering this morning. So are you okay to kind of leave the first part, that without the resurrection, Christianity is impossible? There's no need for it. But there's evidence that this resurrection occurred. You got the point? You ready to go to the second part? Let me tell you this real quickly. Apologetics aside, there are daily ramifications for the resurrection in our identity, our very nature, our position, our standing, our role, our purpose, our mindset, our thinking, our provision, our resourcing, and our power. This, to me, is something I think we don't teach enough on in Christendom. I think we ignore this in Christianity. And I want to give you two or three scriptures here that are going to emphasize the resurrection of Christ and how that emphasized. Not yet, Mike, sorry. Yeah, okay. So there's a couple of things I want to point out. Primarily, it's in Romans chapter 8, if you wish to turn there. Romans chapter 8, to help you out in your Bible. That's about three quarters of the way towards the back. Romans is before Corinthians, after Acts, and chapter 8 is right after chapter 7. That's supposed to be funny, but never mind. There are ramifications to the resurrection. Let me read to you one of them from Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Did you know that Christ was risen from the dead? Please nod your head or say no, but react. You need to know that. You need to deal with that. And that power, that strength, and that might is towards us who believe. Okay. Maybe you didn't hear that, but the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same strength and power and might to help you believe. You agreeing or you got a question? Okay, thank you. Let me go to the next verse, Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul in this context here. He's talking about all kinds of stuff, but he basically says, I want you to know him and the power of his resurrection. It's a good, good verse for you to underline. But the main text I had you look at in Romans 8 is this. You are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Here you go. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then I need to go say, what? That's audacious. That's ridiculous. That's bodacious. That's crazy. Are you serious? Yep. Thank you. That's redonkulous. I mean, anybody here ever seen anybody raised from the dead? Okay. Was it powerful? You have? Was it like, yeah, okay, no big deal. Let's just go grab breakfast now? Or were you like, whoa?
It was actually,
Michael
told the story in church, a little boy next door who drowned, totally black. Started using CPR, and they forget it, just had praying in the spirit, and they had the helicopter waiting, just came back. It was a supernatural thing.
Yeah. And then you went about your day like no big deal, right? It's pretty amazing. Thank you for those testimonies. I pray we see more of that, frankly. You have the power that raised Jesus from the dead available to you. Are you getting that? That's kind of crazy. It's kind of audacious. This Holy Spirit power, some of the greatest evidences for the veracity. If you don't like that word, it's a $20 word that means truth. Some of the greatest evidences for the truth of the resurrection is seeing the movement of the Holy Spirit in the daily lives of ordinary Christians. You all, God's church all around the world, he's moving and doing amazing things. So let me point out how audacious this really is, if you haven't gotten it already. So you're basically saying that if I believe in Jesus' resurrection, in addition to forgiveness of my sins, reconciliation with God, adoption as God's child, eternal life, and so on, that the same power that supposedly raised this guy from the dead is available to me such that I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to do amazing things in my daily life. Okay. Really? Let's look a little further at some instances. I've got a list of about four or five slides with about four or five things on them each that are available to you if you believe in the resurrection, you believe what Jesus did on the cross, paid for your nasty crap, sorry, your sins, taking Scott's credit cards. If you believe in that, here's what's available to you. This is audacious stuff. It's not exhaustive. It's just a sampling of what's available to you as one who chooses to believe in the resurrection and who chooses to follow Christ. Are you ready? I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to talk to God as my friend. Stop. I'm good. That's enough. That's pretty good stuff right there. Do you realize how hard it is to approach a God in most mythologies, even in the Old Testament? And he's your fishing buddy, or whatever you like to do. He hangs out with you. Do you know that you can have the mind of Christ? Says it in the verse there. We'll make this PowerPoint available if you don't want to try to keep up writing all these verses. Do you know that you have supernatural divine insight, guidance, and perspective available to you? So you don't have to wonder what's going on, what am I supposed to do with my life? You just ask. It's available. Do you know that you can trust, wait, and obey for the right timing and the right situation? We often think of that, young people or older people in a marriage context. Certainly that's true. But there's a lot more you can do with your life. Trust, wait, and obey. God's got the timing worked out. He's got the right people worked out. He's got the right situation worked out. Trust him. Wait on it. And you have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to say, okay, I will wait on that. Did you know that you have insights into God's written word, the Bible, that are not available to some joker on the street who doesn't know Jesus? It can jump off the page that you change your life. It's living and active, and it can change not only your life, but if you pray it and appropriate it for your life, and the life of your friends, the life of your family, it can change their life too. This isn't like some spell book or magic thing. It's bigger and better than that. That's the same power that God has. Same Holy Spirit that kicked Jesus out of the grave, said, you're done, is the same Holy Spirit who authored and intended this book. You think they can coordinate? Well, duh. Did you know that you can have supernatural patience to deal with this stuff? Okay, I forget that sometimes. My family can remind you of that, but it's available to you. Let's go on. Did you know that I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to not worry? Be free from anxiousness and anxiety. It's available to you. Do you know you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you to be free from fear? No matter what it is you're facing. I'm just saying. These are just a couple of things that the power of the resurrection make available to you. Did you know that you have the power to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Somebody rattle them off. Love. Close enough. Thank you. Did you know the power of the resurrection in you gives you a new nature? You're not trapped in the same old, the same person from years ago. You can be different. You want to be different. God gives you that desire. He gives you the ability to be different. You don't have to stay trapped in all your old nastiness. We sung about it this morning. I have the power to be light in darkness. It's a dark world. Did you know when you walk out there, you don't have to do anything, just be you. And Jesus in you, the power of that changes where you're at. It enlightens those around you to the point that sometimes they're uncomfortable. They have to wear shades. Looking at you especially, brother. You have the power to be light and darkness wherever you go. Here's a fun one, particularly because in New England, nobody gets offended at all. You have the power to be free from offense. You don't have to take offense. You can drive calmly in traffic. Just saying, you have that power available to you. You have the power to forgive and be reconciled to others. You have the power to love others, especially the unlovable. Don't look at your neighbor right now, please. But you can love other people, particularly the difficult ones in your life. Did you know that you have the power to point others to Jesus' resurrection and introduce them who are estranged from God and get them back to Him, to know Him? That's within your power. That's a great, great thing. Here's one that cracks me up. The power of the resurrection, the Holy Spirit that kicked Jesus out of the tomb, is the same Holy Spirit that calls you and empowers you to serve as an ambassador for God Almighty Himself. You need to stand up straight and bow that back a little bit and realize who you're representing. And God chose you to represent Him as an ambassador. Anybody ever dealt with ambassadors? I have. There's a formality there. There's a weight there. I mean, I'm trying to talk to the ambassador in Norway, and I can't walk up and say, "So, did you catch the Red Sox game last night?" No. There's a sense of weightiness when you talk to an ambassador. There's a sense of purpose, and there's a sense of the ambassador may just be a person, but they're representing something much larger than themselves. God, you called me to be an ambassador, and there's no way I can do that. So, whoa. I give you the power to do that. I give you the calling. I give you the power to do it. Buck up, son. A couple more. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in living in me to overcome sin and temptation. I have the power living in me by the Holy Spirit to supernaturally see the ways out of temptation. Okay, I have the power living in me to break the bonds that entrap me. And we think of entrapment as addictions and things that are nasty to us. But here in America, let me tell you, there's trappings of riches and prestige and success that are equally amounting to bondage. You have the power to be broken free from that. Here's one that we really love. You have the power to endure suffering and difficulties. Yay! Bring it on! Wait. We should have that attitude. The reality is we don't, because they're difficulties. That's why they're called difficulties. No one wants to suffer, and yet God gives you the power to endure. I'm going to start wrapping up, so hang in there. We have the power to exercise His gifts. You can read about that in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, other places. We have the power to ask for and see healing, getting others in their right mind, missing a word there, and other supernatural restorative acts. Just saying, this church has seen healings because we ask God, and it's the power of the resurrection. Come on. If the Holy Spirit can raise a guy from the dead, then fixing your sore back is not as big a deal. Just saying. But wait, really? That's redonkulous. That's audacious. That's crazy. We don't see that. Actually, we do. We want to have testimonies more and more for that. We have the power to experience more and more miracles and amazing coincidences in our lives. We have the power to make an impact in our circle of influence. We have the power to expect to see God move in my and the life of my contemporaries, or our and our contemporaries, our life. That's all available to you. It's there. That's not an exhaustive list. It's a good start. How many people would like to remember this Tuesday afternoon when you're in the doldrums at work? Or Wednesday morning, not this coming week, but the following week, kids, when you're in school? How many people like to remember this Thursday nights when you have that little spat with the family? It's there for you. So the question is, how do we appropriate his daily resurrection power? Very, very simply, we need to dial it in. You get that? The dial? Thank you. We need to align with it. We need to believe it. We need to agree for it, with it. We need to ask for it. We need to align with it. It's not rocket science. Get yourself into a place where you dial in and you agree with it. You say, God, use me. Work in me, please. I want max power. I can't give you this teaching without one warning. You ready? With great power comes great responsibility. So Uncle Ben from Spider-Man was actually quoting that verse in Luke. From everyone who has been giving much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I don't know. The power of God frees you up to be able to show Spider-Man in church and show that even in that, God is alive and active and moving and working. Okay? Here's a question I have that kind of troubles me. And those of you who have these verses, I'll come around to them, so get ready. Are we settling for too little? Are you going about your workday on Tuesday afternoon and you just forget about this stuff? Are you having that fight with the family member on Thursday evening? Again, this isn't predicting or prophetic. I'm just saying hypothetically. Are you going about that and forgetting who you are and the power available to you? Who had Jeremiah 29:11? We'll do that. Listen to these words, that we settle for too much less compared to what God has for us.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
Thank you. Who had John 10:10? I'll be right there.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Thank you. Who was next? I forget. I'm sorry. Thank you, Nick.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. And you had the next one in Romans chapter 8.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also graciously give us all things.
Thank you.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Hear then the word of the Lord. This is written down so that we would not forget. Let me summarize and then demonstrate this for you. So you're saying that the same power that supposedly raised this guy from the dead is available to me today It's through this Holy Spirit to do amazing things as long as I believe and agree with God and allow Him to work in my life. Yep, pretty much. It's pretty audacious. That's why people think we're crazy. We're radical. This isn't normal life, but it should be for a Christian. That's pretty crazy. Here's our key point. The second key point is our aim is to ensure that you're experiencing the fullness of the power of His resurrection every day. If we're not doing that as a pastoral staff, as elders, you need to kick us in the shins. All right, kick Mike and Rich in the shins. Mine are sore. But you need to let us know, and we need to refocus. That's our sincere desire is to emphasize this. We want to emphasize that you know the foundation of your faith is solid, and we want you to experience the fullness of the power of His resurrection every day. Okay, that's our desire. I was praying this morning at 5:30, and God gave me a couple of words. I was glad to see some of you walk in late, because God usually doesn't mess up. I might, but He usually doesn't. Actually, He doesn't. I might mess up in the hearing of it. I wasn't sure if I missed something, but someone in a bright yellow sweater, you don't have to go it alone. God knows what you're going through. He sees you. You're not alone, and you are appreciated. Okay? Is anybody here wearing blue boots or shoes or socks or leggings? I get these weird sock things. So. Anybody? All right. You are? Trust God enough to take a risk. Somebody might be wearing a tie-dyed, psychedelic, multicolored shirt, T-shirt. And I see kind of maybe one, maybe not, maybe a couple. I really get the sense this might be for whoever's online or listening later. Surrender to God to get through or overcome your addiction. Stop struggling against God and let Him work with you. Scott Curry, can we pray for you and your back and your hips right now? Extend your hands towards Scott. And the word I had was your legs may not be the same length. I don't know what that means. So maybe why you're having back and hip pain. Father, touch Scott. Heal his back. Heal his hips. Let him know your warmth and your peace and your grace, even now. Let him know more so how much we love him and appreciate him. Amen. Is Janice here? I know you don't like being called out. The word I have for you is very simple. You will have your reward. Where's Angela? Is she upstairs? Should I give it anyways? We can pass it on to her. Angela, settle in for the long race. Okay. Randy, your strong, low-key, quiet faith is an example to those you don't even know about. Keep your eyes open and be aware for an opportunity to share your faith this week. Someone needs to pass on to Cheryl Armstrong to stay true to God's word. There's an upcoming decision point, and your choice needs to align with the Bible on that topic. Okay, thank you. There's an upcoming, stay true to God's word. There's an upcoming decision point, and your choice needs to align with the Bible on that topic. Okay. Someone who might have multiple jackets, wearing them now, maybe relatively new here, God forgives your sins, especially your loss of your youth, I think is that what it is. And the point is, please agree with God and forgive yourself. Someone in teal or blue-green shiny shirt, likely female. I don't know many guys who'd wear that color, but it's possible. What you think you're giving up is actually a great gain. All people aged 14 to 17 here today, stay true to your faith and stay pure. The testing that you're going to face is a minor inconvenience compared to knowing Christ. So those were some of the things, not all, that the Lord passed on to me this morning. I hope you just take those and pray over them, compare them to the Word of God, the Bible. The biggest thing I would ask you to do this morning as we wrap up and summarize is just remember, you are an audacious person just by the fact that you're here this morning. You're redonkulous. You're bodacious. You're crazy awesome. What we believe in is based on factual evidence. And that factual evidence then implies that you have literally the power of God available to you to live out your daily lives apart from Sunday. Amen. Mike, can I ask you to close us in prayer, and then whoever needs or wants prayer afterwards to come on up. So, thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the reminder that we serve a God who is a real God, a God who is present to us, a God who is available to us. Help us never to lose sight of that. Help us to welcome the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, into our homes. And Father God, as we go forth from here today, I pray that each person here has been touched in the way that you want them to be touched today, so that, as I prayed at the beginning, they leave here a different person. We thank you for using Jason today to give this word to us. We thank you for his time and his effort and for his willingness to be a servant of the Most High God. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.